Are you ready to unlock a secret to youthful vitality? Meet MitoPure, the revolutionary urolithin A supplement from Timeline Nutrition. MitoPure ignites mitophagy, your body's natural anti-aging pathway. As we age, our cells can become damaged and dysfunctional. But with MitoPure, you can recycle these worn-out cells. MitoPure is a clinically validated solution backed by over 15 years of robust scientific research. Boost your cellular energy, enhance muscle strength and endurance, and even fight skin aging, all without changing your diet or exercise routine. I discovered MitoPure a couple of years ago after diving into the science of urolithin A. Since then, it's become a vital part of my wellness routine. For more information and to order, visit timeline.com/Hoffman. Use code Hoffman at checkout to receive 10% off MitoPure. Whether you're looking to support muscle health, enhance your skin routine, or invest in your long-term vitality, MitoPure is your scientifically backed ally in the quest for slowing down the aging process. That's timeline.com/Hoffman for MitoPure.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is the Layla Weighs In podcast, where every week I weigh in on topics of interest, topics I'm compelled to bring you, to bring to the fore, to talk about, to answer your questions. You can email me, questions@drhoffman.net. That's questions@drhoffman.net. We're coming into the holidays. It's November. Can you believe this season happened upon us so fast? Oh, I'm getting older. That's how it feels to me anyway. But it's the time of overindulgence. Last week, I talked to you about alcohol intake, the detriments of alcohol intake, and to consider reevaluating your own use of alcohol. I'm not saying you can't drink or you shouldn't drink. I wasn't saying that. To just think about it and think where you are, think how you feel. Think about any health conditions that you're concerned about or may be concerned about in future. Think about how well you want to age. It's not just about lifespan, it's health span, right? And the same goes for what we eat. And especially I'm talking about that sweet tooth. But did you know that alcohol is a proxy to sugar and sugar is a proxy to alcohol? They are related. First of all, they're both toxics. They need to be classified as drugs, all of that. It's true. But both alcohol and sugar demand to be metabolized first. Matter that you're eating a beautiful steak or a beautiful piece of fish for dinner, along with that nice salad that you've got or anything. All of that goes to the back of the line. If you're having any alcohol with that or you're having a dessert after that beautiful dinner, the alcohol, the sugar, demand to be metabolized first, backing up your whole dinner. And this is what ensues. The liver is trying to get rid of the toxic elements of everything that we're eating and drinking, certainly, but of alcohol and sugar. And first, sugar and alcohol will be metabolized first. And then our dinner is finally metabolized, not to mention all the excess calories, as well as, you know, in addition to dinner. You don't want all the excess calories, you don't want all the excess carbohydrates, and that sweet tooth, which we all kind of have. It shows up in different ways. Sometimes you crave sugar outright, meaning you can't drink that cup of coffee unless there's some amount of sugar in it. Otherwise, you will not drink that coffee. So you're not a coffee drinker. You don't like coffee. It's a sugar delivery system is what it is. So there's over craving for sugar like that. You know, a regular coffee, like a piece of cake, a cookie. And there's other ways of craving sugar, like starch, bread, pasta, rice, potatoes, carbohydrates, chips, like that. There's other ways, too much fruit or dried fruits, and even milk. I know a handful of people who'll drink a half a gallon of milk a day, a quart of milk a day. That's a sugar craving. It's lactose. Lactose is a sugar in milk. So that sweet tooth is linked to an increased risk of depression, diabetes, and stroke. And you know how that sweet tooth can get us into trouble. Because for many people, if they have a little bit of it, they want more. There are some people who could do moderation. And they do it very, very well. They say it's the first two or three forkfuls of that dessert that does it for me, that takes care of that craving, that satisfies me. I don't need to eat the rest of the dessert. That's wonderful. I say for those people, they've really found the holy grail when it comes to that. For other people, it's a switch that goes on. They just want more of it. Or once they've had that dessert, they want it again tomorrow and the next day, and as a regular part of their diet, of their eating plan. So that sweet tooth is always telling us to go ahead and eat all those delicious yummies that we know that we really shouldn't. So from the bacteria and the plaque eroding the enamel on our teeth, right? It's sugar that's responsible for so many dental caries. To the excess sugar ruining our appetites before supper and also contributing to obesity. It's not doing us any favors. We did think at one time that cocaine and heroin were the most addictive substances on the planet. Sugar is the most addictive substance. Mother Nature knew what she was doing when she made the sugar in fruit, called fructose, sweeter than any other sugar on the planet. It was to stimulate sweet taste buds in our Stone Age ancestors so that when fruit was available and ripe, they would eat, eat, and eat to fatten up for the upcoming famine. It's a survival mechanism. So we, the rest of us humans in the modern age, are left with a sweet craving, a starch craving, an alcohol craving, etc. These are all proxies of sweet tooth. So a study of over 180,000 volunteers enrolled in the United Kingdom Biobank from the University of Surrey. This is published in the Journal of Translational Medicine. The Journal of Translational Medicine suggests that people with the sweet tooth are an increased risk of developing depression, diabetes, and experiencing a stroke. The researchers used artificial intelligence. The researchers used AI to group the participants into three general profiles. A health conscious group that prefers fruits and vegetables over sweet foods. An omnivore group that likes most foods as well as sweets and desserts. And a sweet tooth group that prefers sweet foods and sugary drinks and is less interested in healthier options, vegetables and fruit and other good quality whole foods. Data was used from the UK Biobank on blood samples in which 2,923 proteins and 168 metabolites that had been measured from the participants to investigate how the levels had changed in each of the three groups. So proteins and metabolites were measured. Additionally, the researchers also examined the differences between the three groups in standard blood biochemistry testing, you know, the standard blood tests, comparing the blood-based proteins and metabolites provided the opportunity to obtain a clearer picture of the biological differences between the groups. So we know, again, having a sweet tooth is not the best for health. You know, the foods that we like or dislike seem to directly link to our health. If our favorite foods are cakes, sweets, sugary drinks, then the study results suggest that this may have negative effects on health. The researchers found that the sweet tooth group are 31% more likely to have depression. 31% more likely to have depression. They also found that the sweet tooth group had higher rates of diabetes as well as vascular heart conditions compared to the two other groups, said Professor Nofar Geithman, senior author of the study and professor of health and biomedical informatics at the University of Surrey. Quote, importantly, by using data-driven AI methods, we were able to identify groups of people defined by their food preferences, and these groups are meaningful in that they are linked to health outcomes as well as biological markers. Quote, processed sugar is a key factor in the diet of many, and these results are yet more evidence that as a society, we should do all that we can to think before we eat, stressing that no one wants to tell people what to do. Our job is just informing people. You know, recently in a podcast, Dr. Hoppen and I were talking about sin taxes on beverages. Do they actually work? And it was a small study that we talked about. This was a study that was uploaded in October, I believe. I think that one was uploaded on the 24th of October, if you want to go listen to what I'm talking about. It was in the beginning of that podcast in part one. You know, syntax and all this, trying to tell people what to do, give them the information, educate them, right? You don't want people to be ignorant about this. Inform the people so they can do better. So according to the researchers, the health-conscious group has a higher dietary fiber intake, as well as lower risks for heart failure, chronic kidney disease, and stroke, compared to the omnivore group, which had moderate health risks. Remember, the omnivore group also ate sweets. Quote, in the sweet tooth group, higher levels of C-reactive protein, which is a marker for inflammation. Their blood results also show higher levels of glucose and poor lipid profiles, which is a strong warning sign for diabetes and heart disease. It's true because all that sugar causes small, dense LDL cholesterol. It causes higher triglycerides, all of that. And to dovetail this, there's another study that finds low-carb diets may restore beta cell function in type 2 diabetes. It's true. And I remember Dr. Atkins talking about this. When you go on a low-carb, if you have type 2 diabetes and you embark on a low-carb diet, as you should do, gives your pancreas a break from having to secrete all this insulin. Right? It gives your pancreas a break and it lets it heal. And including the beta cells of the pancreas, the beta cells and islets of Langerhans in the pancreas. Now, new findings published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism suggest that adults with type 2 diabetes who follow a low carbohydrate diet may experience improvements in their beta cell function, potentially leading to better disease management and even the discontinuation of medication. Any of my clients on diabetes who come to see me, for the most part, their objective is to discontinue their medication. And over 90% of them are able to do so. With that 10% being able to get off multiple meds and come down to only one, maybe metformin or something like that. But the longer you're able to stay on a low-carb diet, as you should do, the better your chances that you're eliminating diabetes. Now, according to the study, beta cells are specialized endocrine cells in the pancreas responsible for producing and releasing insulin, the hormone that regulates blood sugar. Insulin is also the hormone that stores fat on our bodies. In type 2 diabetes, these cells often fail to respond adequately to blood sugar levels, contributing to the progression of the disease. Quote, this study shows people with type 2 diabetes on a low-carbohydrate diet can recover their beta cells, an outcome that cannot be achieved with medication. I'll say that again. This study shows people with type 2 diabetes on a low-carb diet can recover their beta cells, cause healing of that area of the pancreas, an outcome that cannot be achieved with medication. And this is a study out of the University of Alabama at Birmingham. This discovery could have profound implications for people with mild type 2 diabetes, offering a dietary approach to managing the disease that can allow them to reduce or even stop their medication while enjoying protein-rich meals. Protein and its inherent fat-rich meals. And what they did, the study followed 57 adults with type 2 diabetes divided into two groups, one on a low-carbohydrate diet and the other on a high-carbohydrate diet. Participants on the low-carbohydrate diet consumed 9% carbohydrates. That's the way, 9% carbohydrates and 65% fat, absolutely 65 to 75% fat, if you're doing a low-carb ketogenic diet properly, while the high-carbohydrate group ate 55% of carbohydrates and only 25% fat. That's quite low fat. Now, after 12 weeks, those on the low-carb diet saw a twofold increase in their acute beta cell response. Wow. They saw a twofold increase in their acute beta cell response and a 22% improvement in their maximal beta cell response compared to the high carbohydrate. Do you see how continuing on a high-carb, high-sugar diet can cause these abnormalities in pancreatic function? That's what happens. Our bodies aren't meant to be eating a high-carb diet. It's a whole lot of stress on the pancreas to produce all of this insulin. And according to the study, this is interesting, the benefits of a low-carb diet varied by race. Black participants on the low-carb diet experienced a 110% greater improvement in acute beta cell response. Wow! While white participants saw a 48% improvement in maximal beta cell response compared to their counterparts on a high-carbohydrate diet. Wow! Black participants on the low-carbohydrate diet experienced a 110% greater improvement in acute beta cell response, while white participants saw a 48% improvement in maximal beta cell response. Wow! Compared to the high-carb group. So while these results are promising, of course the researchers go on to say, as they always do, that further research is needed to determine whether a low-carb diet can fully restore beta cell function and potentially lead to remission in type 2 diabetes. Hey, I already know it does. Me and a whole lot of my colleagues know that it does. Nonetheless, the findings suggest that dietary changes, particularly reducing carbohydrate, could be a powerful tool in managing and potentially reversing the effects of type 2 diabetes. We know that. We certainly know that. So, and this is something I remember Dr. Atkins saying back when I first started at the Atkins Center. You go on a low-carb diet and your pancreas, those beta cells, can heal. You're giving your pancreas a huge, huge break where it can heal. I mean, the implications in turning around these metabolic abnormalities based on this wrong way of eating that we've been told for decades to eat more carbohydrates. No, you must eat whole grains. You must eat, or you will die. You cannot exist without eating these carbohydrates. That's our primary fuel. No, it's not. Fat is our primary fuel. We are meant to be in a fat-burning metabolism most of the time. That carbohydrate-burning metabolism will happen after we've fattened up our stores like our Stone Age ancestors did, so that they can sprint away from a predator. So, good things to know, good things to remember as we're embarking on this holiday season, a joyous holidays to all of you who are listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations. You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.